I do just want to pray again as we get started. God, we just do thank you. As we always say, we thank you for another opportunity to be here among this group of people. We thank you for what you are doing in our midst and in our hearts. Thank you for making us a family. And God, we pray that you just continue to do that. We pray that you continue to challenge us and to shape us and to mold us into the people you'd have us to be, because we trust and we know that that is the best possible way to live. And we know you are good, and we thank you for that. We pray that you just illuminate your word, open it up to us this morning, God. Please move me completely out of the way. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right. We're continuing on and looking at joy to the world. And I just want, we're not going to back up and go through the whole story, the whole setting. Most of you have probably been here when I've talked about Nehemiah at least once. This is kind of our setting that we're kind of launching off from this season. We're thinking about joy. And Nehemiah says that all the people went away to eat and drink and send portions of food and tend to celebrate with great joy because they now understood the words that had been made known to them. And we've kind of the thesis, the statement we made about this is this, that following God yields joy, okay? That is one of the fundamental things about being a Christian, one of the fundamental things about being a follower of Christ. It's joyful, okay? And if it's not, then we're not doing it correctly, okay? Like these guys here, they heard the law for the first time and they were just weeping and moaning and crying because of, you know, the weight of it. And then they explained, you know, what it actually meant. And it was this cause for great joy. So the joy of the Lord is your strength. And they went on to celebrate with great joy because they got it, because they finally got it, because now they understood what the words meant. Okay? Now this is a very familiar passage, right? For this time of year, very timely. Luke chapter 2. We should have got some cute little kid to read this one. It said, that night there were shepherds staying in the fields nearby, guarding their flocks of sheep. Suddenly an angel of the Lord appeared among them, and the radiance of the Lord's glory surrounded them. They were terrified, but the angel reassured them. Don't be afraid, he said. I bring you good news that will bring great joy to all people. The Savior, yes, the Messiah, the Lord, has been born today in Bethlehem, the city of David. This fundamental thing about the appearance of Jesus, this baby, was it was good news. It was a cause for joy for everyone. It would be great joy for all people because he is the Savior. Okay, and yes, the Messiah, the Lord, has been born today in Bethlehem, the city of David. And as we think about this, you know, we need to... These are saying very different things, Savior and Messiah slash Lord. Okay, Savior is incredibly good news that Jesus is a Savior because we all need one, right? Someone, a rescuer, someone to save us, to rescue us. And he definitely, miraculously does that. As we see here, God's Ephesians 2, another memory verse, says God saved you by his grace when you believed. And you can't take credit for this. It's a gift from God. Pure gift. Pure grace. Period. End of discussion. Purely a gift from this Savior. You are rescued. Saved. By this Jesus. And salvation is not a reward for good things we have done, so none of us can boast about it. It's not something you earn. It's not something you get when you're good enough. It's not something that you have anything to do with whatsoever. It is all him. Okay, this is because that's how he is shaped, because that's what he does. He saves, he rescues, period. And that's incredibly good news. That is a cause for incredible joy. That is foundational to our identity. That is foundational to reality. And that's just it. Period. Jesus saves. That's what he does. He's also the Messiah, the Lord. Now, these two words are related. Lord here doesn't mean Lord as in how we understand it as God. This Lord is... same as king. It's like saying in the old timey stories, You know, yes, Lord, when you would say that to your king or to your master, whoever the boss was, you might call them Lord, right? Okay, that's what this word Lord means. Okay, it's not in all caps. If it was in all caps, it would probably be, you know, the Hebrew, you know, Yahweh. This is not. This means Kyrios. This is Lord. This is boss. Okay? Jesus is the Lord, the King, the boss, the Messiah. It's the same thing. The anointed one, God's anointed one, the anointed like a king, okay, the conquering king. Jesus is a savior, someone who just rescues people because that's what he does. Okay, that is chief to his identity. He just saves people purely because that's how good he is. That's what he does. That's what he wants to do. And you and I have nothing to do with that. We have nothing to earn, have nothing to prove, just period. You're his, you are saved, you are safe because of him. But also, he is the boss, he is the Lord, he is the King, he is the Messiah. And that's also incredibly good news. Okay, now I want to talk about why. I think it's very clear why it's good news that he saves, that he's a savior, that just he rescues people. Because that's what he does, because of his grace, of pure gift. It's abundantly clear why that's good news. But why is it good news that he is the Lord? Why is it good news that this Jesus is becoming the boss? Okay? First of all, before we get into this, okay, bring up him up here. Thank you. Okay? Oh, it's very clean. Okay, now we've made a list several times, and Travis has erased it each time. We want to do it again, okay? I want you to tell me what brings you joy. And we talked about what joy is. Joy is not just happiness. What brings you joy in your life?
Family.
Yep, there you go, family. Now, I want to be more specific. Not being related to people doesn't necessarily bring you joy, does it? What about family brings joy? What about family is joyful?
A feeling of belonging.
Yeah. Oh, man, that's better than I... Yeah.
Forgiveness.
Belonging. Acceptance. Forgiveness. Okay. Awesome. That's really... You know, these relationships, right? These familiar, these close, you know, family relationships where you feel like you belong and you're accepted and you're forgiven. Awesome. What else brings you joy in your life? This deep, you know, resounding, abiding joy, not just happiness. What brings you joy?
Accomplishments.
Huh? Okay. Yeah, accomplishments.
I pray for joy. Possibly the Lord is our strength.
What's that?
I pray for joy.
Yeah.
Possibly the Lord is our strength.
Yeah. Okay. So what brings you joy then?
God
builds you. Okay, yeah. God brings you joy, this relationship with God, right? Not to put words in your mouth, but if I had to summarize, is that fair? Is that what you meant? Okay. What else brings you joy? Yeah. Huh? Go ahead, Tracy.
Giving.
Yeah, giving. What else? Receipt, yeah. Oh, come on, be honest. Who's joyful when, you know, when someone gives you something that means, that's meaningful?
Giving in terms of like meeting a need that someone else has.
Yeah.
Like Carol said, being who's the most successful.
Yeah. Generosity. What were you going to say, Jeff?
Like going into the woods.
Thank you. Yeah. So let's think about that. Another way to put that. Not just going into the...
Being with God.
Okay.
Being away from being
away. Being away from... Solid. How about... Okay. Maybe... I was thinking, you said going into the... I was thinking, what about the things you do, your activities, your pastimes, things that you do, you engage in, that are enjoyable? Huh? Yeah. I mean, the joy is right there in the word if it's enjoyable, right? Yeah. Yeah.
Music,
movies. Well, but how would you summarize it? Let's say art is that, but also less than art or other than art. He said games or going to the woods, you know, shooting stuff.
Yeah.
You know? Huh? self-care. I'm not comfortable with that term. Okay. Okay. Okay, well, I'll put self-care. I'm going to put hobbies here, too. Because, I mean, you know, for real.
I think other people like live kind of vicariously how they feel like that.
Yeah. Right. When you're...
See other people flourish.
Yeah, there you go. See others. Yes, thank you. Yeah, y'all are deeper than I am. Fun things. Yeah, laughing. Oh, laughing. Right. Being around other people. Okay, now, forget all that. Put that to the side. No, do not erase that. Okay. Now, why is it good news, then, that Jesus is the boss? Okay, that he is Lord. He wants to be Lord of our lives and this cosmos. You know, we read this, God saved you. You know, this salvation is a complete, free, utter gift. You have nothing to do about that. You have nothing to do with that. Okay, but we know that the Bible is filled with imperatives. Right? It talks about how you're supposed to live in light of that. The second part of this memory verse in Ephesians 2 says, "For we are God's masterpiece." You're saved. It's free. It's a gift. You are rescued. You're saved. Period. It's a gift. But you're God's masterpiece. His handiwork. He has created us anew in Christ Jesus so we can do the good things He planned for us long ago. You are saved. Period. You are His. Period. You are safe. You are rescued. And you have things to do. You are to order your life a certain way. You are to do certain things with your life. Period. And there's no conflict between the two. There's no conflict between the freeness of this gift and the pureness of this grace and the fact you have nothing to do with that. There's no conflict with that. And also, you have imperatives about how you are supposed to order your life and who you're supposed to be and what you're supposed to do. There's no conflict between those two things. All right? You don't earn this, but you still do this. Okay? Why is that good news? Because I think for a lot of us, and for certainly a lot of people, you know, on the outside of the Christian walk, when they think about what you have to give up to be a Christian and what it means to be a Christian when you're in your life, that doesn't seem like very good news, does it? It doesn't seem very attractive. Oh yeah, I get to follow these rules, right? But again, as we've been looking at this these last several weeks, in John 15, at the end of Jesus' life, he says, "If you keep my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commands and remain in his love." And again, there's that imperative. You have to, and you need to act a certain way. You need to order your life a certain way. But it's not because otherwise I'm going to kick you off into hell. It's because I've told you this so that my joy may be in you. You keep my commands. You order your life a certain way. You do certain things with your life. You shape your life a certain way. My joy will be in you, and your joy will be complete. And my command is this: love each other as I have loved you. As we've been talking about these last several weeks, that following Christ yields joy. Or we're not doing it right. Okay? And then in Luke 2, there's another little wrinkle here. Like the angel says, "I bring you good news, it will bring great joy to all people." If we just focus on, if we're focused in terms of how we order our lives and the choices we make in trying to follow Jesus and what it means to us, we'll make sure we get all these things. Right? That's kind of this inward focus, this ingrownness. That's not a very pure motive, is it? in a lot of ways. If it's purely all we're ever thinking about is us, then we're missing part of this. It's great joy, yes, but is it to all people? How can this joy be to all people? Why is it good news? And how is it to all people? Ephesians 4, we've read this one again. Just think about this. Put on your new nature, created to be like God, truly righteous and holy. Stop telling lies. Let us tell our neighbors the truth, for we're all parts of the same body. And don't sin by letting anger control you. Don't let the sun go down while you are still angry, for anger gives a foothold to the devil. If you're a thief, quit stealing. Instead, use your hands for good hard work and then give generously to others in need. Don't use foul or abusive language. Let everything you say be good and helpful so that your words will be an encouragement to those who hear them. And do not bring sorrow to God's Holy Spirit by the way you live. Remember, He has identified you as your own, guaranteeing you will be saved on the day of redemption. Get rid of all bitterness, rage, anger, harsh words, and slander, as well as all types of evil behavior. Instead, be kind to each other, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, just as God through Christ has forgiven you. This is a good summary, one of many, many good summaries of what it means to live like Jesus, as a Christian, is to follow Christ. This is a summary of how we are to order our lives. This is a summary of the choices that I'm talking about that the Bible implores us to make. These are the good works God created us for a long time ago, right? And why have I been saying this is good news? Is this a good kind of life to have? Is this a good way to live? Yeah, absolutely. This is an amazingly good way of life to have. This is the best possible way to live. That's why it's good news. And how is it good news to the whole world? How is it to the world? How is it? It's joy because this is a good life. But how is it joy to the world?
Salvation's for all.
Yeah, I'm sorry to be so cryptic. Think about this. All of these things that we are commanded to do, what do they involve? They involve other people. Look at this. They all involve other people. Stop telling lies. So it's not just lie. Do not lie. It's not just this arbitrary command. Okay? It's not that telling a lie is just... Telling a lie is bad because it's something we do to our neighbor. Stop telling lies. Let us tell your neighbors the truth, for you're the same body. Why should you not be angry? Don't let sin by letting anger control you. For anger gives a foothold to the devil. Anger destroys your relationships. It's not that having this uncontrollable, this anger, this consuming anger. It's not that that in itself, it's not only that that in itself is bad, it's that how that affects the other people around you and your relationships. If you're a thief, quit stealing. Stealing in and of itself affects other people. Instead of stealing, use your hands for good hard work and then do what? Give generously to others in need. Don't use foul or abusive language. It's not a list of four-letter words you can't say. It's when you are abusing other people, when you are destroying other people, when you are tearing down other people with the words you say. Because contrasted to that is let everything you say be good and helpful. And your words will be encouragement to those who hear them. It's about the world. Do not bring sorrow to God's Holy Spirit by the way you live. He has identified you as His own, guaranteeing you'll be saved on the day of redemption. So, get rid of all bitterness. Towards what? What are you bitter towards? I mean, cinder blocks or what? What makes you bitter? Huh? Yeah. Is anybody bitter against something that's not a person or involved other people? Maybe, I guess it's certainly possible. But it's this pain of relationships being hurt by other people that causes us to be bitter. Rage. Anybody rage against anything that isn't other people? Yeah. Get rid of all bitterness, rage, anger, harsh words, and slander, talking bad about other people, as well as all types of evil behavior. And instead, contrasted with that, what? Be kind to each other, tenderhearted, and forgiving one another, just as God through Christ has forgiven you. So let's break this down here, this couplet. Get rid of bitterness, rage, anger, harsh words, slander, all types of evil behavior. That's pretty broad, isn't it? That's very broad. All types of evil behavior. So let's think about what is, other than these things, what are evil behavior? Anything that is not kindness, tenderheartedness, forgiving one another. Right? You see the contrast? And there are certainly things that you shouldn't do, period, you know, arbitrarily. But overall, what we're talking about here is being a certain kind of person in how we treat other people, in our relationships. So this, in a large part, this is what it looks like for God to be the boss, for Jesus to be the boss, for Jesus to be Lord, for Jesus to be King. If Jesus is our King, we are kind to each other, we are tenderhearted, we forgive one another just as God through Christ has forgiven you. And to the extent that we are not, then those parts of our lives are not under the control of this Lord, of this Messiah, of this boss, right? You tracking? You with me? Okay. So let's make it a little simpler. What's this? Out of Matthew 7. The golden rule. Y'all know Jesus said that, right? Yeah. I mean, it's like one of those things that's cultural. Some people like surprise me that, hey, Jesus came up with that. In the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus said, he kind of sums up, he says, do to others whatever you would like them to do to you. This is the essence of all that is taught in the law and the prophets. Now that's a sweeping statement. I mean, if I said something like that, I mean, you know, people would have a hard time. But I didn't say that. Jesus said, all of this. Okay. Genesis through Malachi. Means, if you really understand it, if you want to get to the bottom of it, do to other people what you would have them do to you. Okay? That's hardcore. Right? This is the essence. In NASB, the, you know, which is pretty much a word for word, more on the word for word side of the translation continuum. NASB says this sums up everything that's taught in the law and the prophets. Wow. Okay. So, how is it good news? We see it's good news because it's an incredibly good way to live, Jesus being King. Now, come on, look up here. But how is it good news to others? How is it good news to the world? Why is it good news to the world? Huh? Or, let me put it a different way. How do we do to others what we'd have them do to you? In terms of joy, these are the things, these are some summaries of some things that bring us this deep joy, which is a huge part of what it means to be a Christian. One of the goals of the Christian life is joy. How do you help people? How do we help people? How do we take this joy to the world?
Patience,
yeah. Okay. Patience. Love. tenderness. I didn't catch all that. Tenderness. Gentleness. Huh? Yeah, hospitality, welcoming. Selflessness. Okay. Overlooking, yeah. Overlooking things. So not keeping score, right?
Not judging everything.
Not, there you go, not judging. It's very interesting. I don't really want to get in. Well, I don't know what time it is. But see, this comes, the golden rule comes in the context right after he talks about how you're not to judge other people and set yourself above and separate from everyone else and point out everyone else's faults and failures, you know, overlooking your own. That's kind of the immediate context of this, of the golden rule, right? So not, you know, we don't like, you wouldn't like someone else pointing out all your faults or someone else who didn't share your faith or your theology, your beliefs, you know, constantly, you know, zeroing in on that and constantly bringing that to the forefront of every conversation. And look, you don't want someone looking down on you, right?
John,
yeah.
A lot of people have a sense of guilt,
uh-huh.
Real guilt. I mean,
yeah,
for good reason.
Right. Uh-huh.
But they walk around with that, and they don't hear the good news as good news. And
that's right. Yeah.
And they don't really. They think there's some agenda or strings attached, and that God is peace to you. God has made peace with them.
That's right. Yeah, that's right.
So, in a lot of ways, we can communicate that to people just by accepting and loving them.
That's exactly right. Yeah, did y'all, everybody hear that? In the back? Okay. Stand up and say it again. I don't want to restate that. The people in the back didn't hear you. Yeah. Or you don't have to. Turn around. You don't have to stand up.
It's scary when I look at it. I was just looking at Jonathan. I was talking to him. I just said, I think most people have a sense of guilt. And for good reason. I know I do for good reason. And so they don't hear the good news as good news. They think there's some strings attached to it, or there's some agenda in the back of their mind. There's a list of things that goes along with it, and they don't really know the real good news. It really is good news that God peace to men, and God has made peace with them, and they're forgiven, and we can communicate that to people just by the way we accept them and love them where they're at. With their faults, and I think sometimes the gospel is more felt. You say it with words, they hear it differently than what we're saying. But we can communicate it by the way we relate to them.
Yeah. We're not judging, yeah. And what about, okay. Kind of do to others what we'd have them do to us. We've got these kind of these big things, I guess. What about stuff like this? You like it when you have fun, when you enjoy being around other people, when you laugh and you have a good time. Do you like that? Is that a good thing? Yeah, is that part of being a Christian? Don't roll your eyes, Jeffrey.
No,
yes, let me answer for him. Yeah, it is. It absolutely is. You know, so if we want to be joy to the world, if we want to do to others what we'd have them do to us, we need to lighten the heck up sometimes. Right?
Hey, John.
Yeah.
I was just thinking about the family thing.
Uh-huh.
It sort of seems like the whole deal with family is that we are doing all the stuff in that little group that Jesus is us to do to everyone else.
You're right. Yep.
You know, always have mercy, and you keep giving your, you know, drug addict brother or sister money. You know how you're supposed to be with family, like.
Yeah.
No limit, I guess.
Yeah, you're right.
So that's kind of what I was thinking.
Yeah, that's a real good point. So all of this stuff is not just for the people that, you know, share your blood, right? That's a real good point. That's cool. Everybody hear what Jeffrey said? Everybody hear what Jeffrey said? Cool.
I don't like my family that much anyway.
That's exactly right. If you are doing something stupid and self-destructive, you know, it may not seem like that's what you would want, but looking back over my life, and when I've done things that are stupid and self-destructive, I really wish that someone, you know, the most loving thing, what I really want someone to do to me is this tough love.
Not enabling.
What? Yeah, right. Not enabling, yeah. So you see how it's, at the same time, it's good news that Jesus wants to be our king, right? That he wants to be our boss. It's not scary, like he said. It's not this sense of guilt or not this sense of foreboding that Jesus wants to be in charge of our life. That's incredibly good news because it's an incredibly good life that he has sketched out for us, right? But at the same time, it's incredibly good news to the world, to everyone around us, because Jesus kind of he turns us inside out. He where our focus is not solely on self-care, even though there's nothing wrong with that. I'll put it that way. But if we are living this kind of life, you can put that down now. If you're living the kind of life here in Ephesians 4, that's good news to everybody around us. Right? And for a long daggone time, Christians have done a terrible job about being good news. Huh? Yeah. Yeah. You know, if you tell someone that you are a Christian, if we had done our jobs over the past while, they would say, "Oh man, that's awesome, cool. I'm glad you work here. You know, I'm glad you're my roommate. I'm glad that you are my cousin or whatever. It's good. Hey man, I've got a Christian. He's a cousin. He's a Christian." I mean, because being a Christian, this is the connotation that the word Christian should carry. Someone who's kind, someone who's gentle, someone who is patient, someone who is loving, someone who is generous, someone, you know, who gives tough love when it's needed. Someone who's not full of rage and bitterness and anger and judgment and harsh words. That's what people should come into people's mind when they say follower of Jesus. Instead, what does? We don't have to make a list, do we? But that's okay. We are not constrained by the mistakes that we have made in the past. We're not constrained by the mistakes that our forefathers have made before us either. We can make this our identity. We can let Jesus be the Lord of our lives. We can bring joy to the world. We can be good news. Let's think about it. Who has a story, or, you know, just a little short snippet. Who has a story about someone in this room being good news to them? Yeah. Anybody want to share something? How has someone in this room, go ahead, Kara, it's been good news?
So many, but just the first one that popped into my head was a couple months back, we were really struggling to decide what to do with our kids' schooling, and God just made it so that Lisa and I were the only ones who showed up for women's group that night. Mm-hmm. So I got to pick her brain about homeschooling and their attitudes, you know, about what the gospel says about educating our children. She was a big help.
Cool. I mean, I bet a lot of people have a story about Lisa in here, right? How Lisa's been good news. So seriously. All right. Anybody else got something they want to share? I feel like sharing. How's somebody here been joy to you? How's somebody here brought joy to you? Been good news? Yeah, go ahead, Carol.
Miss June.
Yeah.
She's always a ray of God's light for me.
Yeah. Awesome. You see? So you guys get this. Huh? Yeah, exactly.
Johnny. Mm-hmm.
I just want to say I've had friends call me and tell me they're praying for Hannah and this transition that we're going through and for me because they know I'm struggling with that. Yeah. Very appreciative.
Yeah.
And Carol prayed for me that night too, which was really good.
There's a little bit of here. Do others what you would like them to do to you. This is the essence of all that's taught in the law of prophets. That is good news. That is good news to all the world.